There's so much more I want to share with you. My heart's full today, and but I have to, I don't have to, but I get to share a little bit about part two of a series we're doing called The Power of Giving. We don't talk about money a whole lot around here, but there's a couple times a year we feel like it's important for us to really get clarity on what it means to steward well what God's given to us. And I'm not going to be speaking this morning on different kinds of offerings, whether it's a clap offering that we sometimes, or a shout, or we're really going to talk specifically about financial offerings, giving of our finances of an offering. But before we get there, I want to give you a couple of funnies. Let's look at a couple of cartoons that relate to giving. This is the first one I stole off the internet. I said he's beginning to tithe, not tithe. Look at the mom. She's a little, hey, we should donate some ham and eggs. For you, it's a contribution. For me, it would be a total sacrifice. See if you guys get this one at all. I've never heard a better sermon on missions giving, have you? Yeah, some of you will get it. My wife's like, I don't know if I get that one or not. We can explain it to you later, but if you walk out of here naked, you know it's been a good sermon on giving. Because you've given everything you've got, including the clothes on your back. For our younger ones, you can't be an usher because you think the plates are an offering, man. You got a frisbee. Stop throwing around the sanctuary. Anyway, this is the best one here. Hey, what seating section would you prefer for our offering? Any cash, online, credit card, checks? Which one would you like? Push pay? Just let us know how you want us to give today. You see, the reality of when we start talking about finances is that it's a little bit awkward for most. It shouldn't be, but it is. And we're going to pick up today and talk about the power of giving is a sermon, but we're going to talk today about offer the offering. What's it mean to offer the offering? It may seem a little strange to say it that way, but really we got to get used to the idea. Growing up in church, I always heard the phrase, it's time to take our... Okay, say it with me. It's time to take our... Right. And I totally, you know, we've always been givers. We've always given offerings. But it seems like the vocabulary has shifted a bit in recent years. And it's mostly just about the tithe. But I want to talk for a few moments about the offering. Because there's something powerful in how we give an offering apart from what we believe. Pastor Craig spoke it well last week on what the tithe means and the responsibility we have to give. And the truth of the matter is, in the New Testament, if you really want to talk about tithe, the Bible says he owns it all. So it's all his. So what we're saying is that God has given us kind of a good number or a good benchmark, if you will, to begin with, or a beginning number, and that's 10%. That's a beginning number, but we're not as anxious about the percentage as we are just about us learning to steward what God's given to us. If 3%, 4%, 5% is really all you can ink out right now, do that. Start somewhere. But 10% is not a bad number. Matter of fact, we have a number of friends but that set out on a journey that they eventually wanted to give 90% of all that they made and live on 10. I don't know how they're doing. I know one of them seems to be doing pretty well with it, but I don't ask that question too often. Hey, how are you on the percentage of giving lately? It just doesn't work very well, right? But let's talk about offering the offering this morning. And a little quick story for you. There was this $100 bill. You guys know what those are? Not really familiar to me. And a $1 bill. Kind of know what that one is because it means nothing in my wallet. And they were talking to each other one day. And as they were lying there side by side, the $1 bill said to the $100 bill, hey, man, where have you been? Haven't seen you in a long time. Where have you been hanging out? The $100 bill replied, man, I've been having a blast. I've been traveling to distant countries, going to the finest restaurants, to the biggest and best casinos, numerous boutiques, the mall uptown. The mall downtown, the mall across the street, even a mall that was just newly built. In fact, Just this week, I've been to Europe, a professional NBA game, a rodeo to Rodeo Drive in LA, the all-day retreat spa, the top-notch hair salon, and the new casino. I have done it all. Jackpot for Jesus. I added that part. After describing the great travels, the $100 bills asked the $1 bill, hey, what about you? Where have you been lately? And the $1 bill responded accordingly. He said, well, I've been to the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, and the Presbyterian Church, the Episcopalian Church, and the Assembly of God Church. And wait a minute, shout the $100 bill to the $1, the $100 to the $1. What's a church? Hopefully, your $100 bills that you give aren't unfamiliar to your local family called the church. Hopefully. Well, I don't know if I've ever been applauded for that. It's really cool. Let's get going here. You know, in Exodus chapter 25, you don't have to turn there, but Exodus 25, I believe it is. Let me just confirm that real quick. In Exodus 25 through about chapter 36, we have the story basically of the tabernacle being built, give or take a few chapters either direction. And from the very beginning, free will offerings helped to establish what I would call in our modern day vernacular, the first sanctuary or the first place of public gathering. And I felt it interesting to start out with just give you some context that offerings aren't a new 21st century thing. An offering has actually been in the part of our heritage, if you will, from the very beginning of time until our today, and probably will be until Jesus comes back. And here's what it said. And I'm just gonna give you a couple of highlights here. But it's nothing new, this idea of offerings. In chapter 25, it speaks to the idea of bringing offerings for the sanctuary, literally what it says. And it says, bring me an offering and accept it from those that will give willingly with his heart. Some translations might suggest with a whole heart, a devoted heart. Offerings were comprised of anything and everything that would help to build the first official sanctuary. Gold, silver, bronze, all colors of threads, tapestry, animal skins, oil, stones, all those things. Chapter 31, if you move a few chapters further up, it speaks of how the creatives or the artisans were used to bring their offerings, their gift, their time, talent, and treasure, if you will, to help build the early sanctuary. Now, I'm not going to stay in this passage, but I want you to understand that when we catch the idea of giving something for a purpose, we offer something up to God that helps to establish his kingdom rule here on earth. Something happens not only inside of us, but there's something profound that takes place that I've yet to see happen in the American church or probably the church in general. Here's what I'm referencing. I'll take you right to it. In chapter 36, it speaks to the idea of bring it to God, and he will show us how to build it, the sanctuary. And like God, it was he built something that was go big or go home. Like that sanctuary, from everything about it was so detailed, an engineer would appreciate it, Michael. It was just so crafted beautifully. But it took the family, the Israelites, to bring the right stuff, the right offerings, to make it happen the way that God had orchestrated it. Chapter 36 shows us that when we that are called to come together as family and do the work of building the kingdom, that things happen that aren't ordinary. For example, here's what happens. It says in verse 6 of chapter 36 of Exodus, so Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing for the material that they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed, too much. We haven't yet seen that kind of a giving in the American church yet that I know of, to where we gave so much that the leader of the family had to say, hey, whoa, wait a minute. We have no more room for all the offerings, for all of the things that's required of us, our time, our talent, our treasure. Specifically, we're talking about our treasure this morning. But we have so much that we just stop it, because City Hope has enough. Cross Point has enough. The Church of San Diego has enough, so that we can see the kingdom of God advance. Wouldn't that be a great problem? Yeah. It's funny, when you say something like that, people are like, amen. We get all weird, like, oh man, I better start thinking about giving an offering. Well, yeah, you probably should. I'm talking to myself this morning. We all need to think about this. So at the very beginning, free will offerings built the first tabernacle of gathering. Pretty cool. Let's move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says these words. Remember, I like this version, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your mind what you will give. I like Eugene Peterson's words, man. I like that. Because the truth of the matter is, and please hear my heart when I say this, he really sums it up well. Most of Christians, I don't think I should say it that way. A lot of Christians, Christ followers, are pretty stingy when it comes to maybe not the tithe, but when it comes to something beyond the tithe. Now, I wouldn't say that's true about you guys. You guys have always stepped up and done pretty well when it comes to giving over and beyond. I want to honor you for that this morning. But I think the reality is that we can all probably do better and expand our capacity to understand that the offering is as much a part of our following Christ as the tithe is. Paul here is describing, the apostle is describing something that the church of Corinth would understand. He uses the analogy of agriculture, which for most of us here, it's a little hard to understand what this looks like, but it's hard to grasp. But it's the idea that Paul presents here in 2 Corinthians of sowing and reaping. Now, I confess to you that I get the premise of it, and sometimes I don't always see, partly probably because of my how I'm made up, I don't always recognize the reaping part of my sowing. I know it's there, but I don't always see it. Some of you see much better than I do, in part maybe because of your temperament or how you think or how you process. I'm asking the Father to help me see more of the results of my sowing. Let's jump into this real quick. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Now here's what I want you to catch. If you planted 500 seeds, if you took seeds with the agricultural analogy, if you took seeds, you plant them in the ground, the most you could probably hope for would see 500 plants or a result of something 500, correct? Some of this would apply to if you only planted 5 seeds. You're probably at the most going to see what? A residual or 5 plants or something of 5, the nature of 5. Verse 7 says this. It says, take plenty of time and think over what you're going to give. Make up your own mind what you should contribute. What is this really looking like? What does this mean? It means that we don't simply give because Pastor Barry, Pastor Craig, any of the staff, anyone stands up here, is making you feel guilty or making you feel like, well, man, if I don't give, I'll be the only one in the room. That would violate what we're talking about this morning. Because honestly, what it says here is that we are not to give out of compulsion or guilt, but listen hard to the voice of Holy Spirit and give what you hear. There's been times when we've been in the service and we stopped everything we were doing and said, be quiet, shh, just take a moment, listen. What's the Father saying to you for you to give right now? What's he saying for you to give? In that moment, Holy Spirit says, give $500. I said, Lord, are you sure? And you say, $500. I go, okay, I'll give you five. I'll give the five. It's learning to discern the voice of Holy Spirit. And not just with our giving, that's learning to discern the voice of the Spirit in everything we do. But as it relates to offerings, Father, what do you want me to give? Next week, we've already done the work for you. It's one day's wages. Figure out what you make, divide it up in the number of days in the month, and figure out one day's wages. Some of you might have to give that by faith. It's not a question, but it is a part of the process. You have to take time to assess what you can honestly give. I like to give more, if I can, than my one day's wage, our wages combined. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, what's it say? That will he also reap. That's pretty cool. It means this. What does it look like to mock God? Do I stand in my house and go, hey, God? You know, you're making fun of God the Father? No, it has nothing to do with mockery in the context of how we know mockery. It simply means this. It means that we cannot imitate or mimic the things of God's kingdom. It refers to the principle of divine administration. It must be seen that God cannot be treated with contempt or successfully evading what he has asked of us. The idea is that the government of God or his administration of his kingdom cannot be manipulated or coerced into blessings. His ways are divine and not open to discussion. As it relates to the offering, you will get what you give. There's no way around this. You can't manipulate God to give you more blessing because you're trying to imitate what Craig does in his giving. It's a simple principle. When you sow something, there'll be what? There'll be a reaping of what you sowed. If there's no sowing, there is no reaping. And one of the blessings you might receive that you could try to attribute to God, I promise you something, he's a good God, but it didn't come because you planted no seed. It come because maybe the economy's good, maybe your job is good, maybe you've just been in a good place. We need to take time to recognize where our supply comes from and recognize that everything we have is his. So why not practice the art of offering? Why not consider what it looks like? There's been so many times we've sown something and maybe didn't recognize the reaping of it, but we've sown when we're like, we can't give that, but we did it anyway out of obedience. See, offering up the offering means that we have to learn to discern the voice of Holy Spirit and when he speaks by obedience, given what he's asked us to give. Sow big, reap the harvest. Sow little, reap little. Did you know this? Did you know you decide what kind of blessing you want? Did you know that? That's kind of a cool thought, that I can decide what kind of a blessing I want. It's not this. It's not, okay, I want that. Okay, so just this past weekend, I was invited to a gathering up in North County. And the house that we were in is probably a good 8,000 square feet. One of the most beautiful homes I've ever been in. And I'm not speaking to that kind of commanding my blessing. Well, I command right now. Right, so he gives me a 5,000 square foot home. Well, then I gotta go, okay, so I have no furniture now. How does that work? No, we're not talking about that kind of a command. It's truly the ability to choose what the blessing that we desire. See, 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must give as he decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's not specific to what you want. It's specific to God. I'm seeding into, I'm giving my offering very intentional. I've decided in my heart with no reservation, no reluctancy, no hesitation, no fear. I'm giving my offering today because God, I know you love a cheerful giver. And I can confess to you this morning that I am not always a cheerful giver. I do it sometimes out of compulsion. I've done it many times out of feeling like, oh man, we go to a conference and we know the people putting on the conference and we're like, man, if I don't give something, they're gonna go through the offering and go, man, Sappingtons didn't give anything. Like, what? So they go, Ken, to give them something, man. Let them see we at least believe a little bit in the conference. Right? So offering boils down to like everything else in our journey. It becomes a heart issue. 2 Corinthians 9:7, as he has decided or purposed in his heart. The idea of, I'm just going to turn there real quick because I want to look at this, of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That idea here is found in, I'm going to make a proposition here to myself. I'm going to propose that I give God $200 in my offering today. I'm going to direct my finances in this offering towards Convoy of Hope. I am, if you go back to the idea of deciding what blessing I want the blessing of seeing children and people that are in crisis. I want to see the blessing of them and their needs being met. Because I can't go to every single need. Danny knows it to be true when working with City Hope. Not every single need can we meet. But we can, when opportunity arises, we can say, God, I propose. I'm going to make a proposition with myself right now. I'm going to propose this to me. I'm going to give to City Hope because I believe in what they do, and I want the blessing of seeing women off the street or men off the street that are in a domestic violence situation. I want to see them free. I want to see them protected. I want to see people that are on the streets or in need of resources that we can help with. I want to give to things that help that happen. I want to know that our City Hope team has the ability and the resource to go on calls 24/7, 7 days a week. I want the benefit and the blessing of knowing that those things are being cared for. I can't go on every call. But we certainly can be willing to make a deal with ourselves and say, I believe in this, I'm directing the blessing towards this, and I'm going to be the recipient, I'm going to receive the what? Sowing and reaping. I'm going to reap the benefit of seeing people helped because of my offering. That makes sense to you?
Yeah.
It does to me. Maybe that's what this is for today. It's about me. It's all about me. It truly is a heart thing. If your heart's never moved towards something, you're never going to give. If you've never been in a moment when the Father's just pulling at your heartstrings, you're like, man, I need to do something here financially. I've found over the years, this is kind of a personal note, I found there's a lot of people of substance, wealth, that I've been around that weren't very generous with their money. I found that the people that didn't have anything were the ones that gave the most. What would happen if everyone in the family of God began to do their part? Those that have little and those that have much. And they begin to allow the Father to speak to them about an offering, about a gift, about a giving, about some kind of a need being met because they're able to do it. I wish, there's been time, we've talked about this so many times, and probably like you, Wish I had a lot of money. But I probably wouldn't have it. That's the problem. If I had a lot of money, I'd probably give it all away. To see people and be the recipient of seeing them blessed and healed and touched. Amen? So Matthew 6:19 says this. It says, so we're talking about offering up the offering. We're talking about learning how to let God speak to our heart and be obedient to that. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I've heard that so long, just couldn't figure out what it meant sometimes. I just, you know, dense. I know I'm dense. But I understand the premise of treasure, I do. But maybe it's never been an issue for me. Maybe that's why it just doesn't register. I think what Matthew's trying to say here is that when we offer up an offering, it must be something that we process and think through, almost be it planned and intentional. Like next Sunday is an intentional offering that we're going to give of our finances. Spontaneous offerings are really cool. We have incited a few of those around here a number of times. We've seen spontaneous offerings. I love those. But when it comes to heart offerings, when it comes to what we're talking about this morning, we must keep in mind that my offering is being given with purpose and a revealing of where my true treasure lies. If I'm willing to give my money, if I'm willing to pull out push pay and quickly donate and give $50 to this or that when a guest speaker comes through, so that's different. Is it really different? We're saying, let's give a love offering to the man or woman of God. Truthfully, if I'm going to really be full disclosure, there's been oftentimes in the last few years where when our guest speakers come through, I was almost embarrassed because it was more like a like offering than a love offering. Don't get uncomfortable. I'm just being honest. Because there's no reason why that when someone that we really just like, how many times somebody comes through, like, that was the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Now hear me. And yet, I did not intentionally seed into what I received from the prophet of God. You want a prophet's reward? I guess what I'm trying to do this morning is poke at you a little bit, poke at all of us a little bit, so we can expand our capacity to be givers like we've never given before. If you're there this morning, like PB, now you need to know something. I don't look at your giving. I could, but I really don't. I don't check your offering. I don't check your tithe. There are times when that would be appropriate, but I just don't do that. There's no offering police that's going to show up at your house and go, you know, you haven't been giving an offering. And I want to see your credit card right now, buddy. I want to see your bank statements. I want to see where your money's going. There are some organizations that do that. So what are we storing up? What are we storing up in heaven? What are we? Do you ever feel like your finances have gotten ripped off? Like you feel as though some of the things that you've invested in the kingdom or things that you want to see happen hasn't happened. It's almost like the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy this area of your life. Well, I'm here to tell you that tithe and offerings, as it reflects the kingdom and the Bible, I'm convinced that there's no reason that anyone should go without. That if we're all doing our part, we're tithing, we're giving offerings, we're being directed, as we mentioned here again. We know where our treasure lies, and we're willing to invest in things that really store up treasures in heaven. Then there's no reason why there should be anyone in need. There's no one in America, there's no one should go hungry. There's plenty of food to go around. So what's the issue? That's another topic, but it's about stewarding what we have. All right, a couple more things here. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 10. We'll just land the plane with this. verse 8 specifically. And God is able to make all grace, say all grace, abound. Say abound. All grace abound. That's pretty powerful. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, say always, having all sufficiency in all things, that may have an abundance for every good work. That sounds like a plenty verse to me. That sounds like an abundance verse to me. That sounds like he's going to take care of us is what it sounds like to me. Offerings allow one, let's put it this way. Offering allows one to build trust in God's provision. When I give by faith, when I give intentionally, when I give my offering, I am believing and I can trust God to take care of me in every aspect of my life. It sounds similar to tithing, doesn't it? That's because they're cousins. That's because they're connected. That's because you don't do one without the other. If all we're doing is tithing, we're missing out on the blessing of the offering. God wants to teach us how to expand our capacity to give so we can really practice trust in the one in whom we say we love. It's a real motivator as it relates to offering up an offering. God, can God trust us with our gifts? Can we trust him to take care of us when things aren't so plentiful? Verse 8, we just read it, that it's everything's available. All grace abounds towards us. We can never, ever outgive God. The idea of sufficiency here in chapter, verse 8, the word sufficiency is such an amazing word. It is only referenced here, maybe one other place I can find in this context. It means self-sufficient, content in the sense of being satisfied because we're living in God's constant fullness. We live in the place of fullness in God. I'll say it again. The idea of sufficiency in verse 8, having all sufficiency in all things, it simply means that God, the fullness of God that's inside of us, we can be self-sufficient in that we're content in the sense of being satisfied with where God has us in the moment. He's all, everything we need is found in him. When we live knowing that everything we need to live, well, let me say it differently. When we live knowing that everything we ever need to live satisfactorily is ours because of our offering up of ourselves to him. I give myself to him as an offering. All the fullness of God that lives inside of you will be sufficient every time you have a need. You say, you don't know my story. I don't, but he does. And the issue is never about him. It's always about us. His word is truth. His word is life. His word, it says, you can trust it. The words of God are yes and amen. So be it. If he says it, believe it. Let's expand our capacity to trust God, not just with other things, but with our finances, with our tithe, with our offering. Let's allow God to do what he says he'll do in us. Lastly, in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Just pause right there. Give and then say it, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured out, I like this, into your lap. That's so weird. But do you get the premise? For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. To me, if it's poured out into my lap, I can see all the blessing of God right here in front of me. And so can you. And if I'm not stewarding well all of the things that's been poured out on my life, on my lap, and you know it, you can see the blessing, you can see what God's given to me, but yet you see I'm stingy with my money. You can see that I'm not a good giver. You can see that the fruit of my life doesn't reflect the fruit of God's kingdom. I think that's part of what he's trying to say here, is that I poured this out on you. For the measure you use it, it would be measured back to you. So in other words, if I've got this amount in my lap today, and I'm using it the way that God's teaching me, next time you see me, there's going to be more on my lap. You say, but if you keep giving it away, understand, for the measure you use, for what you, how much you use, it says it will be measured back to you. So at the very least, I'm going to get the same amount back that I gave away. But I believe that God actually gives you more when you become a person that pours out themselves like an offering. Financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Here I am, Father. Use me. Use me. I trust you with the measure of my resource. So you're probably thinking, well, PB, are we taking an offering today? No, we're not. We're doing it next week. But I want you to understand that offerings are part. So when we come up and Candy leads us in the declarations, how many of you benefited from the declaration? Anybody seen increase in your finances? Well, we give testimonies every week. It'll be more than that. Testimonies of God's goodness. How many have seen like an increase? Let's see. You've seen supernatural provision come into your life. Some kind of something you weren't expecting comes into your life, right? It's not rocket science, but it's truth. So I pray blessing over you today, and I pray that we would begin to really, truly not give because the church is always talking about finances. We don't do that. You happen to be here today and we're talking about it, but next week we'll give you maybe one more week of this, but or two more weeks. But after that, guess what? We'll be back to preaching kingdom principles. This is a kingdom principle, yeah, you're right. Yeah. But you know what I mean? We'll go off point, but we're still going to continue to fan the flame. Because it's not just about receiving, it's about seeing you walk in what God's called you to walk out. To see you fulfill your purpose, to see you fulfill your destiny, to see you walk in signs and wonders, to see you be the true ecclesia, to see you hungry for the things of God, to see you fulfill everything that God's ever, you know, has called you to do. To see it fulfilled, it requires us doing our part as well. Amen? So Father, we bless the family today. We thank you that God, we're not going to be afraid of giving our tithe, and we're definitely not going to be afraid of giving an offering. And Father, we've made it super easy in this day and age, technology. We can go to a website. We can go to our phones. We don't have to write checks anymore. We can simply just tap on a button and give. But whatever the mode, whatever the means, however we do it, God, that's not as important as just learning how to be obedient and listen to your voice. So I bless us with expanded capacity to hear the voice of Papa God. And when he speaks, we say, yes, Father. And he says, son, I need you to do this. Okay, I'm on it. And I have obedience. I run to my assignment. So thank you, Jesus, for this family. What I sense you doing in this family, where we're headed, what we're believing for in 2019. In the name of Jesus Christ, we come together and we say, amen.